Mark 6, the beginning of verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. One of the features of life round here in the last few years, certainly since 2008, has been this policy of occasionally stress testing the banks, both in the UK and throughout Europe, just applying shocks to the system to see how effective the banks are, well-resourced, able to respond to pressures, everything like that. I suppose, given what we all went through 10 years ago, it's very sensible. But it must be quite a stress to be stress-tested. And there seems to be something of stress-testing going about here with the disciples, both in the circumstances they found themselves in and the apparent response of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was real stress to those disciples. We see an extraordinary phrase at the end of verse 48. He went out to them walking on the lake, and he was about to pass by them. Literally means he wanted to pass by. That was his preferred option, not to engage with them, but actually to pass by them on the lake. Given what they were going through, and that they were his closest friends, we can't help asking ourselves, why did the Lord Jesus Christ react in such a way? It had, after all, been an exhilarating 24 hours for Jesus and his closest friends, even if the day hadn't worked out as they'd originally planned. Back in verse 31, the idea had been that they would take time together, away from the crowds, reporting on the various missions that they'd been on. All that had happened during the experience when Jesus had sent them out two by two. But those plans were hijacked by the crowds who came when they heard that he was in the area. He taught them, always responded positively, and this day was no exception. And then in the early evening, he fed them all in that miracle we call the feeding of the 5,000. Much later, when they'd eaten everything, Jesus went to pray alone and sent the disciples over to Bethsaida, obviously hoping that tomorrow things would work out more as they planned. But it turned out to be not as easy as they'd hoped. We read in verse 48, first part, there were clearly problems. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Jesus, in spite of the fact that he'd let them go, was still, from his mountain place of prayer, focused on them. Hours had elapsed by the time we get to this point in the account. It's clear from the text that he began the feeding of the 5,000 in the early evening. He dismissed the crowds quite late at night. So from about midnight to 6 a.m., Jesus was up the mountain praying, but all the time keeping an eye on his disciples trying to get over the lake. He was watching them, and eventually he went to them. Nearly a year earlier, they'd got in trouble previously then with the weather on the lake, which was notoriously unpredictable. And the Lord Jesus Christ must have hoped that this time they'd remember how he sorted it out, how it was all right in the end. There were no problems, no injuries, nothing like that. That didn't happen, though. Obviously, they were exhausted. They'd just come back from this extraordinary mission. They'd been dealing with this vast crowd, taking baskets of food around so that they could eat. They were exhausted. They were obviously very anxious at the weather. Trained sailors, though some of them were, this was one of the bad storms, and they weren't at all sanguine about it. And they were clearly, probably because they were anxious and exhausted, not thinking straight. They didn't recognize Jesus. And the appearance of a ghost walking on the lake was really the last straw for all of them. Quite understandably, they failed the stress test. The Lord Jesus, however, spoke to them and joined them in the boat, bringing peace not only to them but to the weather. And there was no criticism or condemnation, simply reassurance. And for us, what happened, how they responded, what the Lord Jesus did, is meant to help you and me mature as Christian believers. When the pressure is on, we need to have been getting into the habit of remembering and giving thanks for how dependable the Lord Jesus Christ has been in our experience. Letting those experiences of his dependability shape our attitudes and our expectations. As we think about his faithfulness, so we have greater confidence in the future. We need to be sure, too, that whatever it feels like, he's focused on us. He was watching them, it says, continually focused as he prayed, and at exactly the right time, he'll come to us by his Spirit. Gratitude is a spiritual discipline. It's every day just taking a few moments to thank God for the specific ways in which he's blessed us the previous day. Confidence comes from this clear conviction about Jesus. He's watching us. He'll come to us. Our timing may not be his, but he is utterly and totally dependable. In the storm, it's sometimes hard to hold on to that. But nevertheless, it's true, and we need to be renewed in that conviction.